May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to adjust this word a little bit, but I wanted to share this little part. This is from Revelation chapter 4. I'm just starting for verse 1. In the midst of these things, I stood and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in the heavens, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting was like a jasper stone, and sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and clouds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. In Isaiah chapter 6, similar scene. And these four living creatures are identified. Verse 1, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. And John 12:41 says this is a revelation of Jesus, uniquely of Jesus. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, in the train of his robe, filling the temple. That's his glory. And seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the very foundations of the threshold trembled. The word seraphim is a Hebrew word that means burning ones or fiery ones. And if you've heard us talk about this before, done your own study in Scripture, you know the throne room, whole realm is just full of fire. Scripture says that the throne is on fire itself. There are actually two thrones, the Father's throne, the Son's throne, the right hand. They sit on wheels of fire. And then before them flows a river of fire that goes through a sea of glass mixed with fire. And surrounding this throne are these four living creatures, seraphim, who are burning ones, fiery ones. And the Holy Spirit has a picture of that in Revelation 4, of like seven burning lamps before the throne, which is a great story there. That's like God burning before God, which is a great description of the Trinity's relationship with each other. So you have this whole environment of fire. Of course, it's not judgment. It's the fire of God's vehement love, his great passion in this throne room thing. But the interesting thing about the four living creatures is that in the Revelation story, you have them described as being full of eyes. There are also cherubim that have eyes, but these are uniquely the ones that surround the throne. And are full of eyes. How many eyes is that? I don't know. They probably have thousands of eyes. It says within, around. And as we've said before, those eyes are necessary because the beauty of the Lord, the word holy means beauty or separate or distinct, other. They're constantly catching glimpses of the otherness of God ever since their creation. How many eons ago that was? And will be forever. It's going on right now. So in the throne room is loud, but it's not like aggravating, loud, but there's just this sound of holy, holy, holy. So You have these four living creatures who have thousands of eyes, and each one is catching a fresh glimpse every millisecond of the beauty of the Lord, and it's new. Every fresh glimpse is new. That's been going on for millions of years since their creation. We'll go on forever and ever. It's never ending. Holy, other. Mike Bickle likes to define the word holy as transcendent beauty. Excuse me. So there's this transcendent beauty. It just never, ever, ever, ever ends. And because they're seraphim, the scripture says they're burning before him. But when you look in the Isaiah passage, it says it has eyes, but instead of, and they're kind of holy, 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 and yet it says with two wings, they cover their eyes. Must be big wings to cover all those eyes. And with two wings, they cover their feet. With two wings, they're flying. What are they doing flying? Moving around, catching glimpses, then covering their eyes. So I think, wow, that is the strangest thing. But the truth of it is I don't think they're burning ones. They're burning before him because it's their nature to burn. I believe they're burning because they're before him in response to his nature. That's just what his presence brings. It causes burning. And the Holy Spirit himself is burning. That's just who God is. God, the triune God, just there's a burning between them all the time. There's this. It says that he's an all-consuming fire. It's just who he is. He just burns with passion, burns with love. You get anywhere near him, you start burning. It's a consequence. We hear people tell us, and I'm grateful for that, particularly in this generation, stirring people up to burn for Jesus, to have passion for him, to carry that passion in the world. Now, sometimes it can get a little confusing because I remember years and years ago going to conferences that we did when I worked for a ministry in Birmingham, and one of our staff members was an older guy who led gazillion people to Christ. He was very driven, awesome guy, loved evangelism, extremely disciplined, like he was in his 70s in great shape, and he'd rebuke the staff sometimes publicly if they were like a little overweight or like this. And finally one time, he came after, he spoke those things, a really condemning thing, and he got with me and said something to me. I said, let me just say something to you. And I won't say his name. You were like this before you got saved. I knew you. You were a famous baseball coach in Birmingham, and you were known for discipline and drivenness. What is it about you that's doing this that's supernatural? You don't carry an anointing to speak to anybody about discipline because you were that way before Jesus. Give me something that Jesus has done in your life. And with somebody like you who is disciplined, it should come out like compassion because that would be different. Basically, stop it because you're not helping anybody. We want to go eat because you make us nervous to make ourselves feel better. What I'm trying to say is that passion isn't just for people who are naturally hyper. And sometimes out there in the body of Christ world, people who were hyper before they got saved are still hyper now, and they're calling people to passion, but that's not enough. You can't be them. What causes passion? That's where you got to get back to. His presence. That's got to be the message. Because passion to burn is a consequence of being in the presence of one who's a consuming fire. It always starts there, doesn't it? We were created for relationship. We were created for intimacy. Does God want people to burn? Yes. I don't want people who don't have that personality to sit out and listen to someone who's hopping around the stage get discouraged. Well, I'm just not like that. No, you'll be who you are, but you can burn. You just got to learn how to abide in him. Make his presence your priority. And if you'll be in his presence and live in his presence, you'll burn because you can't help it. You were created to burn, but you were created to burn like a mirror is created to shine. A mirror can only reflect what it beholds. That's who we are. We're like the moon. We can shine, we can burn, but only as long as we're beholding the sun. He's the source of it all. And I believe that what happens when you live that way, you live in this amazing duality of fascination, eyes wide open, humiliation. Oh my God, he's so glorious. The whole brokenness, the whole fascination, it all comes. The seraphim are a model. They're seeing stuff, then they're covering their eyes because it's so glorious. And it causes such brokenness. But it causes such fascination. Anyway, that's more of the story. We don't have time to do the whole story. It's a fun story, though. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.